And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Life is Like a Movie Sometimes. My first guest wrote in is America's Answer to the King's Speech. He's called the Master of Charisma by the Times of London. We discussed speaking and speeches that shook the world. My second guest is one of the founding members of the 1960s singing group The Tokens. He turned his attention away from music and towards novels. We discussed his latest book, Null Quotient. My next guest looks at men as a species and offers advice to women on what they should look for in a man. This may be particularly valuable for you women listeners that are going out this weekend to the singles scene. So you'll want to pay attention to this. As always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Ken Ventura grew up in a mid-sized town in the heart of California during the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. By the time he was 28 years old, however, he had an epiphany. He had to face the reality that in many ways he was behaving like a boy. To his further dismay, he looked around society and at culture, and some of the problems that we were experiencing were commonplace with men. So he began to quest for the solution. He began to answer the important question, what is it to be a man? The answers are found in his latest book, Boy Versus Man. We've all heard the phrase, man up. Well, Ken is here to tell us exactly what that means. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. So let's jump right into it, shall we? I mean, tell us the event or the series of events that led you to write this book.
Well, you know, growing up in middle-class Santa Barbara homes, by the time I was 18 years old, if you would have named 10 of the families closest to us, Bill, 9 of those had divorces.
Wow.
And this is upper middle class. And if you look at the statistics of, the things a lot of people don't want to look at, child abuse, 1 out of 3 little girls are abused, and you look at all the things that defines a family and defines happiness, the statistics are dismal. And I just cried out. I said, there has got to be a solution for this. And so that was when I was in my teens, and ultimately by the time I hit my late 20s, I'd seen so much carnage with males and females and relationships that I really started to put down on paper what I was learning, and I learned some fabulous things.
Okay. Well, describe for us the number one problem that you see in society today is men that are acting like boys. So why do you say that, and what are the effects of being a boy have on society in general?
You know, it's all about relationships. Most women out there are getting pummeled by the relationships in their life. If you take the closest women to you and you ask them, how is the relationship with you and the men in your life, you're going to get some eyes rolling back. You're going to get some criticism. You're going to get some comments that show that there are truly some problems there. And we developed the man versus boy list because we found that there's some simple things that men can do to be the men that they're supposed to be so that people and relationships are restored. And the number one thing on that list, Bill, is blame. If you look at the divorce rate right now, it's approaching 60%. You're going to find that most of those relationships, if you ask, what's the problem, you're going to see that the women feel blamed, and the men are blaming. And you're also going to find that that women don't feel precious anymore. You know, every woman out there, they deserve a great man, and we as men have not given them a great man, both statistically and relationally.
All right. Well, you make an interesting point, Ken. You say that women don't feel precious right now.
Yes.
Being precious is really a very recent phenomenon. I mean, if you look at mankind, we've been around for thousands of years. And for the longest time, men and women never shared equal status. It was only in the second half of the 20th century that the women's movement came about and that women got to that parity. Remember, women didn't have the right to vote until the 1920s in this country. So you say that women don't feel precious. This has not been their lot in life throughout history. Why now is it so important for women to feel precious?
You know, I don't think it's a new thing. I think that men and women are both physically and spiritually and emotionally different, ordained and designed by God differently. And what I feel is it's been something that has been really kind of like original sin. Women have been neglected. They've been neglected since the beginning of time, and I think it goes right down to the heart issue. And you find when a male steps up to the plate and does his job. And I propose that the right and the left hand of a man's job is, on the right, he's supposed to protect her, and on the left, he's supposed to nurture her. And the reason women haven't felt nurtured and felt precious is because I believe it's the number one issue in life. If a man can learn to love and nurture and protect the women in his life, it's not just his spouse. It's his daughters, his grandmother, his mother. Something happens with a man. He feels fulfilled, and something happens to the women. They respond incredibly, and they respond by reaching back and putting love back into the relationship. Women are born to respond, and they respond well to love and protection.
All right, we're talking to Ken Ventura, everybody. His book, Boy Versus Man. We're talking about the roles of men and women, and particularly how men are falling short. But again, let me ask you this follow-on question, if I can, Ken. If you look at the animal kingdom, and you look at species that mate for life, you can pretty much count on one hand the number of species that mate for life in the animal kingdom. Certainly lions and tigers don't do it. Humans are among the few species that do choose to mate for life. And I'm going to ask, is it our biological imperative as men not to want to settle down with a woman, not to want to nurture her and respect her, as you're saying, but really to spread our seed as far and far flung as we can in order to keep the species alive?
You know, you've brought up a great dichotomy. And on you personally, Bill, are you married?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how good do you feel when your wife is taken care of? And when you love and nurture and protect her, and she responds by saying, thank you, I love you, and how does that make you feel? Does that make you fulfilled as a man?
Well, it makes me feel good because I've chosen to do that. There are many men whom that may not make them feel fulfilled simply because they've chosen not to do that.
Well, from my experience, I've found deep down those men that have made that choice are lying to themselves. I've seen over and over, I've been a counselor for many years, I've been a business coach for many years, and I've never truly seen a man, when a push comes to shove, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, that deep down does not long to make the women in his life happy. And when they decide to do that, not only do they become a man, that really is what my book is all about,
mm-hmm.
they not only become a man, but they begin to feel a joy and an inner happiness that I believe it's, like I said, God ordained.
All right, but then if we look at the people that are incarcerated right now in our prisons throughout the country for spousal abuse, for sexual abuse, for
right.
crimes against women,
right.
in essence, what you're saying is if some woman showed them appreciation, all of this would change and they would get over their criminal behavior. Now, I know I'm looking at the abhorrent subculture of mankind here, but the reality is I don't think you can take a hardened criminal, simply treat him nice with a woman treating him nice, and he's going to change his ways. I mean, there's pathological reasons why a person is a wife beater or a sexual molester, aren't there?
Yeah, then there's different degrees of it. Well, I think your premise of what I'm saying is missing. That's putting responsibility on the women. I put zero responsibility on the women. I believe that men are made to initiate, and when it comes to, I would never say to a convicted convict that we need to find women that will love you so that you'll feel better about yourself, because that's not a man overcoming. I believe that a male is put on this planet to overcome the very things that we're talking about. And one of those number one things is learn to love and nurture and protect the women that are near and dear to him and around him. If you look, and I've done a lot of prison counseling and ministry and different things, and if you look at the men in prisons and you look at their home life, you're going to find that there's a consistent pattern. And one of those patterns is there was not a father there to teach them how to love and nurture and protect women and children.
Mm.
It's almost across the board. And so that goes back to the real problem. It's not the women. I propose that it starts with the men. Every problem in America, you could give me any problem, and I could bring it back and tell you on how men have dropped the ball. And in this case, males have dropped the ball by acting like little boys.
All right. We're talking to Ken Ventura, everybody, his book, Man Versus Boy. So give us the secret sauce, Ken. What are some solutions that you offer in your book for men to reclaim their masculinity, to reclaim their rightful role?
Well, the number one thing, Bill, is to realize it's real. And, you know, I grew up on a ranch. So I hope you won't bleep me here, but the bottom line is when you grow up on a ranch, it's you got to keep your balls. You can't give away your manhood.
Okay.
And I use the term keys in the book because what has happened, if you talked about those prison men, If you look at their life, starting from a young child, they were not taught by their fathers, and the moms as well, they were not taught specifically by their fathers, though, to retain and keep their keys. Meaning, any time you violate a relationship and do something that's relationship wrong, you know, lying, stealing, cheating, those things that are universally accepted as not helpful to relationships in society, I propose you're giving away a piece of yourself. And the more you give away, it hurts people, and you lose that power and that internal authority to get victory. Give me any convict or prisoner, and if when I sit them down, I mean, you'll see amazing thing when I sit them down and say, let's make a list of all the things that come to your heart of where you've given your keys away, given your balls away. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, when they start putting that list down, it's the first time they've ever done it. This is where you've given a part of yourself away. And guess what? Every time you did it, it hurt a woman. Every time you did it, it hurt a child. And it hurt yourself. And so it's a systematic, easy way, literally paper and pencil and heart and soul, to get back into where you're supposed to be, meaning get your keys back. And that's what the book teaches. The book teaches women how to not tolerate boys. It's like so many women have become doormats, and they think that, well, it's the best I'm going to get. And I'm saying, no, you're precious. You deserve a great man. And I'm saying to the men, you can be a great man, and you got to do it by getting your keys back.
All right, so let's say somebody has lost their keys, and let's say that they want to rehabilitate themselves. What are some steps that they can take in order to get their keys back?
Well, there's a universal principle in every religion that's, you know, that's substantial, and it's called forgiveness. And the way that it works is when we have given our keys away, we've basically dishonored, you know, as the Constitution say, God and God's nature. And what we do is we basically put it before yourself and the person and anybody involved, and you say, you know what, this was done, and this was wrong. And for that, I'm not saying I'm sorry, because sorry is different than forgive me. Sorry is a feeling. Sorry is about you. Forgiveness is a new contract. And so when you take each, when I give the example of the man that's in jail and the convict who makes that list, he starts from the beginning and just gets those major issues that were where he made decisions personally to hurt somebody, to steal somebody. And he starts going down and he starts making restitution. And the first step of restitution is, honey, forgive me. Mom, forgive me. Daughter, forgive me. And that starts the ball of restoration.
All right, that sounds great. We're talking to Ken Ventura, everybody, his book, Man vs. Boy. Now, Ken, you also make a connection or draw a connection between reclaiming our manhood and rebuilding America. What's the connection there?
Well, the connection is I think you'll agree, Bill, a good nation is built upon good states, which is upon good cities, which is upon good cultures, ultimately, which is built upon good people, good families, good communities. And the heart, the very core, the very bottom, which so many people have missed on restoring America, you know, we have these arguments between Republican and Democratic viewpoints, but bottom line is this. If we go back to the heart, back to the initial, and rebuild the man and rebuild the women, teach the women not to be doormats and put up with boys, and teach the men to be men, you're going to find, as Tom Brokaw wrote in the Greatest Generation, what made that generation so great? If you look at it, what he proposes is they're willing to be selfless and put it all on the line in a general state and fight to love and protect their nation. And so that's the solution, is build the man.
All right. Now, if you look outside of the United States, Ken, what other countries in the world are embracing this philosophy more than the United States?
Well, you're going to find that... you know, every culture. I will say this. I'm going to be general. Give generalizations, because obviously you can go to any culture and you can find similar problems. But you're going to find that if you look what's happened with, let's say, some of the Asian cultures that have come over to America. I'm not going to talk about the problems. I'm going to talk about the good things. There is a certain sense of family that they have, a loyalty to family. Now, within that, there may be abuses, but there's a sense of family, and where dad still gives to the sons that manhood. He gives to them that sense of responsibility and taking care of your family. Now, that could be abused, of course, by putting so much pressure on somebody that they don't do it, they feel suicidal, but that doesn't mean, you know, every good thing can be abused. And so if you look at the Asian cultures, they have a phenomenal track record of raising up men to follow in the dad's footsteps. So that's one culture that I've seen that is done a phenomenal job at that.
Look East to Asia, that's where. All right, we're talking to Ken Ventura, Man Versus Boy is his book. And Ken, you've got a lot of good information in there. Who is the ideal reader of your book?
You know, any woman that is not happy, I'll tell you right now, the reason is boys are in your life. I'll tell you right now, you need to get this book. I get calls daily. I get testimonials of weeping women saying, oh, thank God, I have been a doormat. I have allowed boys. And they're subtle. It's so subtle. And this boy, this Man Versus Boy book takes it for a woman, and it opens up and it lays out for them exactly what they need to look for in a man, simply, and not to judge men, but to be there for men, because women are great helpers. So number one, women that have been hurt by boys and aren't happy. And number two, let me tell you, men that just feel like they're stuck. If you're stuck, I guarantee you cannot read this book without moving forward. It's impossible to do.
All right, Ken, one last question before I let you go. Should men be afraid of what you've written in your book, Man Versus Boy?
Well, let me tell you, a lot of men are, because they think that it's going to be used, we did a hardback so the women could, beat the men over the head with it. That's what they think. The reality of it is, there's nothing to worry about, because before you fix a problem, you have to see it. And let me tell you, it really is a testimony. If you're bold enough to go to manversusboy.com and read this book, I got to tell you, you won't regret it. There is nothing to fear, because sometimes having a mirror and looking at where you're at is the best thing to do.
All right. We've been talking to Ken Ventura, everybody, author of the book Man Versus Boy. Ken, if people are interested in what you're saying, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, it's manversusboy.com. It's M-A-N-V-S, as in versus, B-O-Y.com. And everything you need to know. And also, I noticed on your website, you had a link on today's schedule. You can click that, and it goes right to my website. And can order books and send me messages, do whatever you want. And I'm so thankful that you let me speak today, Bill.
Oh, Ken, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, I hope to meet you in person sometime, Bill.
Love to meet you as well. Take care, Ken. Have a great weekend.